Kaminsky, the CEO, superintendent of the Indian Hill, and I am here with Emily Grulich and Sarah Hagopian today. You are the first adult EduHero podcast guests. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
It's so great to have you both here. You are both leaders of amazing partner organizations for the district. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, what our PTO does, what the boosters do. More important, as parents, you've been involved in the district for years now. One of the things I really want to start off today asking the two of you to share is, if you think back to when you were a new parent, what is it that new parents can do to learn about the district and get involved? Because you obviously found a way and maybe somebody helped you. And I think that's a question I get all the time is, how do I get involved if I want to help out and learn about the district? So, Sarah, what do you think about that?
I think that there are amazing organizations such as PTO and Boosters and Foundation, and it seems probably intimidating when you're new and just joining the district to get involved. And I would say find an interest that you have, a way that it connects you to the kids or to your interests or passion, and just volunteer. We're always in need of extra hands. And I started when I was a younger parent by getting more involved as like PTO, room parent, those types of things. There are always ways to get involved in some capacity.
Room parents is hugely important, right? Especially when you're entering in the primary school, and many parents want to still have some of that connection and feeling on a daily basis with the kids. But it's a great way to also meet other parents.
Yeah, it was really good for me because when we moved here, our children were in second and fourth grades, and it was the fourth school district we'd been in through a series of work moves and the like. And so I didn't have a connection to the community, and just finding a way to get involved with the school was a way to meet other parents, to meet the teachers, and to kind of find my way into the community.
That's great. Emily, what was your experience like?
Sure. So when we moved here, my son started kindergarten, and so I started at the primary school, and I wanted to get involved just like most parents do. And so I was able to join the PTO. I went to the events, spoke with people who were in the PTO, and kind of figured out what my options were. We actually have a great website if you want to go on IHPTO.org. is a great way for you to kind of find what is available for our PTO. But also, there's just so many ways, not just volunteering, volunteering is an amazing way, but we also always look for business sponsors. We look for family donors who are interested in helping financially. You can just come to an event and just socialize. And that's a great way to get involved, is just by joining other community members at our events.
I think the gathering is such an important thing, right, that you're touching on. So, like, I always think really fondly of, like, Hits on the Hill last winter. A lot of people who are younger parents may not know about Hits on the Hill, but what a spectacular event, right? And people from the whole community can come and just have a fun night. That's one of many, many events that PTO puts on that's kind of a signature event for you. But the whole idea is to get people together to have fun and gather socially. Obviously, we do fundraising in the district. Obviously, people are trying to do projects. But coming out of those pandemic years, right, I think we've all seen, the three of us, how important it is for people to get back together. That kind of feeling of Hits on the Hill in the winter there was really important. Sarah, one of the things that's become really popular is the start of the year with the Booster Bash. Creating that sense of, like, Friday night lights, everybody come to the center of the community. We don't have a downtown at Indian Hill, right? We have the campus. What are you trying to do with these events?
It is such an amazing opportunity to bring the whole community together, whether you have a student athlete participating, someone in the marching band or not. I've been impressed with the number of families with younger kids that continue to come out and to the football games, to the Booster Bashes. We'll do one again for homecoming and have an opportunity to really create that sense of community. So no matter what age you are, what ages your children are, it's a way to see neighbors, see friends, have a social get together, and continue to build this community that we have in Indian Hill.
And it's not just about coming to a football game, right? Like you're saying, it's really a chance to network and meet and build some social relationships. And I think, again, this isn't an infomercial for our young parents, but so many parents who do move into the district like you did, parents of younger children, sometimes they don't know what they don't know until we help them to show up. So showing up to a home football game can be a whole experience, not just the football game.
Absolutely. And we, like I'd mentioned, we've been in several other districts before Indian Hill, and I'd never had that opportunity where as a younger parent, I would feel welcomed at a high school football game. And with events like Booster Bash, we try to create that with the inflatables for kids and pizza and cheerleaders and just really feeling like a whole K through 12 community and organization, and even alumni come back. So it's kind of, it's neat to see the social networking and the relationships building and things that happen on the sidelines, that it's more than just football.
Yeah. And Emily, it is more than football, right? You learn a lot about other children and families as you're involved. You've been doing this for a while now. Talk about what those relationships you've developed with the other PTO parents mean to you.
Sure. Yes, I have created such, I guess, long-lasting relationships that I know will last, you know, even through our children. Once they graduate, I will still be friends with these individuals that I have met through the years and that I have worked with. And you really get just a great group of friends by just working together and volunteering together and seeing each other at the football games and seeing each other at PTO events such as Spring Fling or holiday market, and not just myself, but my kids also have, this is a great way for kids to also, you know, spend time with their friends outside of school. And so they've really, enjoyed these, just activities, I guess, that they can also meet friends.
And there's a big one this week, obviously. Some people know what this is about, but can you, one or both of you, explain, like, what is Party in the Middle so that people know?
Sure, I'll explain because it's an actual PTO event. So Party in the Middle is for our middle school students, so our 6th graders, 7th graders, and 8th graders. And it's just a fun time before the Friday night football game. It's at the Pavilion over by Tomahawk Stadium. And there will be inflatables. There's like a dance studio area where we're actually bringing in a couple dancers to not only DJ, but to also, you know, dance with the kids. There will be other activities and games. And it's just a chance for our middle school students to come together and, you know, have that outside of school time together that they can just enjoy each other and spend time together and really just get to know each other outside of the school walls.
And I know you're both very aware as parents, right, that over the last 10 years there has been a lot of change in how middle school students navigate life, the pressures on them from school and society and how they feel and how they emote about it. So taking the time as parents and partners with the school and with school staff to be able to have an amazing event like this, which doesn't happen just once a year, but really an important time, not just for the students as peers to bond with one another, but with them to feel support of a community around them, which I think is so important for young adolescents. Sarah, as you've kind of navigated this being a parent, right, in this era of schooling, I would imagine events like that are really important for lots of reasons, but what about the effects or the impact on kids? Do you see it? Do they talk about it? What kind of feedback do you all get in your organizations from the kids?
In terms of the community building events?
Yeah.
It's so incredibly important, and particularly as, like, my daughter's a freshman this year, and having just come through three very different middle school years than kids would have done, you know, a decade or so ago, events like Party in the Middle really do bring the community together with how the grade levels are currently split across different buildings. And they'll say, you know, I got to know someone that wasn't in my core classes, or I got to forge a connection with new friends. And it's just so incredibly important that we continue to foster these in-person opportunities for kids to socialize. I've even seen, coming out of the pandemic, so much moved to virtual socializing by virtue of what we had to do at the time, that helping provide opportunities for kids to connect in person is really important for their development.
Yeah, for sure. And Emily, a lot of this in-person versus virtual, like obviously most children in this generation have grown up at some point with devices around them or even in their hands. And obviously their parents are using them. People are using them to navigate their day, their calendar, their phone, whatever. There's always talk out there, right, about like, okay, how much is enough? How much is too much? How do we maintain that healthy balance of face-to-face time conversation? We can do that in school. We can regulate that with teachers. But if you were to give advice as parents, and again, in general, how do you have conversations about that with kids in order to establish what I would call maybe like healthy boundaries? Like, how have you navigated that as parents who have now had kids move through the schools over the last few years?
Sure. So I know for my personal family, I actually have three younger kids. So I don't have any high school kids yet. So I feel like we're still figuring out how to navigate this even within our family. But for us personally, you know, I feel like the kids are on screens during the day just for their schoolwork. And they come home, they have to, you know, out their computers to do homework sometimes. So for us as a family, we really try to have a no screens policy at night once they are finished with their homework. So, you know, we don't let them play video games during the school week. Now on the weekends, we let them, you know, have that TV time, that computer time. But as a family, we really try to just limit the amount of screens that our kids see. We also, my son, he does have a cell phone, but we keep it in the kitchen. He has to keep that in the kitchen so that my husband and I can, you know, see it at all times.
Yeah,
so
good strategies, I think, right? And especially that screen time at night, we know, right, the longer someone's looking at a screen later at night, the more it can affect their sleep. So really important, especially for middle school, high school students who are navigating this, to understand like their health is also impacted by this. Sarah, how have you all navigated that? Do you have any other tips or advice that you would think of that you didn't hear?
It all comes down to communication. And I think understanding the reasons why, like what are you trying to connect? What are you getting out of this? And being flexible as parents, because high school aged interaction with technology and devices is certainly different than they were at the elementary school ages. But we need to continue to remember these kids have developing brains still well into their 20s. And so setting healthy boundaries and just being open and communicating with what's okay, what's not okay, what are you looking at? Let's look together at some things is the way to guide them through this.
I love that. Let's look together, because that's a great way as a parent, right, for you at any age level to kind of say, we're in this together. And also, I might give you my opinion or advice if I see something that doesn't make sense developmentally. But you can also do it in a proactive way, right, and approach this as a partnership with children. And sometimes kids, as they get older, right, they want that independence or they want to look. But so I think that's a great strategy that you just mentioned along with the other ones. As you all are working as leaders of your organizations, let's kind of change gears for a minute. I don't know if everybody understands how much our partner organizations do, right? Like, we have an amazing staff here, but our partner organizations supplement so many things that go on in the district. I think both of your organizations raised like over $170,000 last year each, respectively, that then came back to the schools in terms of support from your membership. So can you just tell us, Emily, a little bit about like the health of the membership? I don't want to like quiz you on all the data, but how many members are there in a PTO at Indian Hill? And like, am I on when I say $170,000+ with all the events you put on? That's a lot of grants, donations, fundraising, and support. Maybe you could just give people a little example.
Sure. Yeah. So the PTO has currently around almost 800 members.
That's amazing.
Which is very exciting.
And 800 members is, just so you all know, we serve about 1,500 families in a community. To have 800 PTO members in any public school community of this size is staggering.
Yes. And so, you know, we are just, I just want to say that we are very, very thankful for all the parents who join PTO, for all of the businesses who sponsor, for all of the people who come out and volunteer. You know, everybody every day has a decision to make on where they spend their finances, where they spend their time, where they spend their resources. And so when people are giving that to PTO, we are so appreciative of that. And it just means so much that you're choosing to give, you know, a part of that, of yourself, to the PTO. And so we just want to get the word out that we're so thankful for our volunteers and parents.
Is it safe to say that the majority of that money that comes in with the fundraising goes back to kids and teachers and grants?
Oh, for sure. Yes, 100% of what we raise goes directly back to our kids and our
students. And I know at the primary school, for example, our kids are just now opening their STEM box kits here for the first time this year, but those are things that, like, the PTO directly supports the creation and the resupply of those things every year, just as one example at the primary school. I'm sure you could give us 100, but that's where people can actually see, if you choose to give money to PTO, it's probably going to come back in the form of something that's going to impact academics in the school.
Yes, I would say for sure that we give so many learning enrichment grants every year that benefit our students. You know, they help our teachers teach, and they're just a great way for our students to grow.
That's amazing. And I think there are PTOs in other districts that parents, again, may or may not know. Some PTOs do this, some don't. So the fact that you have a grant arm and that you work with other partners in the school to identify those needs for teachers, absolutely amazing. Sarah, you all raised money too, and I think it ends up directly supporting the arts and activities in our school district. Maybe give us a high-level overview from your perspective.
For sure. One of the reasons that really drew me to helping with the Boosters organization is the multifaceted support across athletics, arts, and extracurriculars, which is very unique to Indian Hill. It applies to me, as my kids have participated in all three. Things that we have helped that I think a lot of families wouldn't know is that we support across K through 12 in the district. So in the primary school, funding the startups of the Lego Club with all of the brick Q sets that are used for that, helping with new risers for the primary school to be able to, for every performance that they do. And then as kids continue on, regardless of whatever extracurricular activities they wish to participate in, whether it be robotics club or different teams that participate, or if we've supported athletes as they go on to their state level competitions, and all of the sports teams alike. So it feels like a really wonderful way to meet kids where their needs are and support every child in the district, no matter how they want to get involved outside of school.
I think it's so important that people understand, right? Sometimes when they hear Booster Club, they think it's just going to support sports, but not here at Indian Hill. It's going to support multiple extracurricular activities and performing arts. And over the last couple of years, we've seen that directly. The robotics club and the competitions and how that has grown up through the high school level to make it really more about how does this look K-12 has become really important. And so the Boosters are strategically helping us plan as a district, just like PTO helps us plan. And, you know, obviously to me, it ends up in things like STEM designations. We get those accolades as a school district because our partner organizations help fuel what's going on that our teachers are doing in the classroom and after school with children to make sure that learning experiences and performance experiences are awesome. So members who are giving and helping, even just buy a membership, those dollars are coming back to the kids, and it's having a huge impact on the kids in a district where we've got over 85 different clubs and activities for kids to choose from, which is a lot. Tell me from your perspective as parents and as partners, what do you think about our staff? Like, when I mention the names Brian Phelps and Amy Clark, like, how are they perceived, and how is that role important to what you do, or their roles? How are they important to what you're trying to do?
Well, particularly for Boosters, those two are our key partners. They participate and help guide us that the choices we make as a Boosters board are best serving the arts, athletics, and extracurricular needs of the district. So I really value the partnership that we have with the administrators, but I'd also add all of the teachers and the coaches and the individuals who lead the clubs and support these children that aren't necessarily at our Boosters board meetings each month, but really are in the day-to-day of making things happen for the kids. I can't say enough about the staff and the way that the teachers and staff have been able to interact with my kids for the positive.
It's great to hear. Emily, when you think of the staff members and again that you interact with, like what's your take?
Yes, so you know, the teachers, the principals, the administration have just, they really do a great job of coming alongside of the PTO and just being a resource for us. And you know, they're not afraid to ask when they need things, which I think is very important. And you know, it's just a great partnership that I think we have with the staff and the teachers. And it's kind of what, you know, it's a parent teacher organization, our PTO. So it's bringing everyone together for one purpose.
One of the big purposes the last couple of years has been the facilities planning that we went through. Many of you were involved as volunteers. There were other parents involved. We did a lot of community engagement from the school side to try to get feedback and input on what should our facilities look like? What should a new middle school look like, right? And you both, I'm sure, have been involved with that, but also like we're getting almost to the finish line now. We opened the renovated primary and elementary. We had our partners involved with helping make sure kids get school supplies at the beginning of the year, as always. Braves Palooza was an amazing event. I saw 400 to 500 families get to go through what we called our magical reveal. But as parents and as taxpayers, what do you think about what you're seeing with the facilities and what you're seeing coming down the line here with the Performing Arts Center and the middle school? Just give me some feedback.
Sure. I think it's excitement. I mean, I think it's a great new space for our students to learn in. You know, the new primary school, the new gym at the elementary school. I know my kids in particular were very excited about the new gym at the elementary school. They kind of had a rough time last year with the gym, you know, the floor in the gym last year. So they were so excited to run in there, and not just the gym, but they have a space to perform their music performances, their band performances at the elementary school now, which I know has just been something that has been needed for the elementary school. And the middle school, there's just so much excitement for the middle school. I think I have a middle schooler, and he's in the modules in the back, and every day, or whenever we drive past on Drake, he's always looking over, and he, you know, notices what is new, that the brick is finished, or, you know, so there is just a lot of excitement. I think they're excited to get in there. They're excited to have this new space to be able to learn and create and just enjoy together.
What do you think, Sarah?
I'm astonished at the amount of work that's been able to happen over the past 2 years or so. It is exciting. It'll be really neat to see the middle school finish, to see the Braves Lines store open in the front of that space by the performing arts wing. And then there's just so much more to be done to support our kids. But I feel like facilities are an important part of making the learning experience and the environment that our children are in each day.
I hope you
feel
both
open and healthy.
Yeah, open is great. Using an open space that's new, that's mm-hmm. what's so exciting to me, right, as an educator, is I just want people to use these spaces and then get comfortable in them and make it the most healthy environment for the kids. That's a huge part of wellness, right, is the everything from the colors to the natural light to how much space you have available. And then, of course, the things they can do with their teachers. And I think we've created some new gathering spaces in the district, too. Like that elementary gymnasium for performances is going to be really great. And there's a spill-out gathering space there by the iLab, which we never had at the elementary before. And, of course, at the middle school, there'll be a hub. There'll be a revamped cafeteria that can be another gathering space. And, of course, there'll be a new kind of choir room that's expanded for small performances, the start of what we call a black box theater. And then there's this Performing Arts Center lobby that I don't think the district ever you know, had before. Now we can bring 300 or 400 people together, maybe for some of our partner events in the future, and maybe dream up how to use these spaces that probably we're all excited about, right, for the future. So I would be remiss if we didn't talk just for a minute about what's going to happen this month. So we started to push out social media campaign stuff about this hashtag Fund the Fieldhouse. Our foundation partners are going to be the fiscal stewards of the first day of giving. This is hopefully going to become a new annual event to help support and supplement things that go on around the district again. But this year it's going to be kind of focused on this idea of, could we as a community build a field house? Could we do something that allows a large impact on students and community? Both your organizations have been very vocal, supportive partners in this idea coming to fruition. And we have some real serious donors in the district who have really helped fuel this conversation. But the question I have for you about all that is, one, I'm sure we could all say having a facility like this would be great. But as a parent, when you think about the services you want provided by a district and what you want people to be able to do in the community, what's the rationale for looking at these types of facilities? What's your rationale? Like, why should Indian Hill be exploring a fieldhouse concept? Your opinion matters.
I will say, you touched on a little earlier that we don't have a downtown area in Indian Hill. And without sidewalks is in part of the area, having gathering spaces becomes very important as part of community building. And so as I think about the field house concept, that as you have shared kind of some thoughts along the way, being able to have a space for the community to utilize, in addition to the overflow for sports team practices and all the ways that it can be utilized to support the school functions, I think the community aspect is probably an even bigger component in my mind of having a way that everyone in Indian Hill can walk the track or get together and shoot hoops with friends on the weekend, or do ways to utilize the space that really inform community and get families excited about coming on campus. It can only help the district.
Love that. Emily, what's your perspective?
Yes, I think it's going to be a great gathering space for our community. Like Sarah said, there's not really like a downtown area or like a place for us to kind of meet up. So I think it's going to be a great meetup space. But I think, you know, the boosters, the PTO, the foundation, when we hold events, these are spaces that we could hold events in. And so that's exciting that, you know, we'll have some other options if it rains or, you know, if the weather isn't great. But I think just bringing our community together, however we do that, is just always a great thing for a district to do.
And this is part of a long-range kind of capital plan that our Board of Education has talked about several times that I think you all are aware of. But this is really like, what's next? And then in this community, people are always kind of like, okay, well, then what's next, right? And that's one of the things I love about our partner organizations and the people who are involved that volunteer a lot, is they give us a lot of feedback and we try to engage for that input, whether it's adding music rooms in the future to the middle school, looking at how we use the lot that we have that currently is where our transportation depot sits, how do we make improvements to our stadium. You know, this year was the soccer surface over at Shawnee. There's always a project and there's always some long-range capital planning that the board does with our CFO, McDavis. But more important, we're taking feedback and input from people as we go along. So let's finish up with another question that I think is really important, because you're both involved in engagement, like as the leaders of your organizations, and I appreciate how much time and effort you put into your own volunteering. If there's something that people can help you accomplish to engage the boosters or PTO with new members or to spread the word about things that are going on, what is it people can do to help you? Sarah, why don't we start with you?
I think first and foremost, I would love if families in the district could engage with our website to learn more about boosters, to join us and to reach out and find ways to become involved. I think there's a misconception that we're all about high school sports, and high school athletes are a huge part of what we support in our membership currently. But as I look at the potential for what boosters can outreach within the organization, as well as budget-wise, the things we're already currently funding. We are present K through 12, and we are present for extracurriculars and arts and athletics. And so I would love it if we could have, if younger families show an interest in boosters, come to the Booster Bash, come to the homecoming event that's coming up at the end of September. Ask some questions. There are plenty of ways to get involved in any capacity, but you don't have to wait until you have a high school student to inquire and be interested in boosters.
Yeah, such a key point, right? We want this to be a K-12 partnership organization. You want to have people get involved and stay involved, and there's lots of different ways to get in. Emily, how about you?
Yes, I would agree. I think that, the PTO is probably a little bit on the opposite end of boosters, where I feel like a lot of parents get involved at the primary school, the elementary school, and then we kind of trickle down when it comes to middle school and high school. You know, parents just become busy or they move on to boosters or move on to other organizations. So I just think it's important that, I know for our organization in particular, it's just nice to have a wide range of people that we can have in our meetings from kindergarten to 12th grade that can just kind of come together and give opinions and give suggestions. And so the more people that are involved, the better. Agree with Sarah again about if you have any questions about the PTO, please go on to our website, and there's a wealth of knowledge on there and just so many ways to get involved.
Yeah, I think, from the district standpoint, whenever we can help somebody connect, whether it's checking out our website or checking out our social media feeds. I know you both have your own social media feeds as well on X and on Instagram. And when we can help connect people directly, we want to be able to do that. I just want to thank you both for your leadership in the district. I've known you both for several years now, and your own volunteerism is amazing to me. You put a lot of time, and you don't get to hear a thank you all the time. So we thank you for everything you do to lead these organizations, but also the feedback and input that you've given us, because really what makes this uniquely Indian Hill to me is that our partners are engaged with us all the time. I wish that was the case for public schools all over this country, and I am grateful and pinch myself every day that we have the kind of volunteerism and involvement that we want. I know as leaders, you always want more. I always want more, and that's one of the reasons we're all talking today, too, but you should be very proud of the strength of your organizations, the size of your organizations, and what you do for this public school is absolutely unique and amazing among public schools all across the country. And I hope that makes you and all your members proud. I know that it makes us proud, and we're so proud that you represent us. It's great to have our partners here today. This is a historic podcast. You're the first two partners, and we'll have to catch up again at some point in the future. But I thank you both for your time. Emily Grulich, Sarah Hagopian, please check into what's going on with PTO and the boosters, and go Braves.
Thank you.
Go Braves. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining me today.